This is UR Radio, and I am Louisa Dyer, and our show is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. Happy Holidays, Happy Solstice, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. There's so many things to say Happy Holy Days about at this time of year. Anyway, welcome. We are having a good time tonight, and our show is from 8 to 9 every Thursday evening. And our show is about listening to various teachings from enlightened ones that are living among us. And if you want to know a little bit about who I am and what my perspective is, you're welcome to visit my website at louisadyer.com. And we've been talking about David Hawkins and Byron Katie for the last few weeks. And last week we had a wonderful interview with a beautiful young woman named BJ. And if anybody had was wanting to get in touch with her, you can do that through the email on my website. And in the second half of this show, I'm going to have the Facebook page up for Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio, and I'd love your input on that page, and I'll do my best to handle it if I can manage that with the technology. I think I can. My intention here is to have a really good time and to share all the different tools that there are out there and easily available to all of us so that we can thrive instead of just survive. So if you're on a path of personal growth or spiritual evolution, or you want a life that's filled with more joy and peace, you can have it. And hopefully what we discuss tonight will inspire you to begin living that life even more than you already have been. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to take a little break from talking about particular people, and we're going to look at 10 things you can do right now. This is a list from Andrew Harvey, his book called The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. And there are 10 very simple things that will make a very huge difference. And so we're going to go through those and talk about those. But before we do that, I want to read this beautiful poem that was written by a local woman. Her name is Lori Manella. And she works at Crystal Visions Bookstore. And I asked her if I could read it on the air, and she said yes. It's called Happy Holidays, Holiday Lights. Everything, as far as the eye can see, is all connected, a common we. What glues us together with all its might is none other than that essence called light. The deepest core of who we are is akin to the light that shines from a star. What it is that causes those stars to shine connects us all like a cosmic vine. If we look with our hearts instead of our eyes, we could see through all illusion and lies and finally come to understand that each of us is the promised land. So the challenge I put forth to you this year is one I hold especially dear. Let your inner light out till you feel the glow and watch love in this world magically grow. Isn't that beautiful? That's called Holiday Lights by Lori Manella. And the little note she had on the bottom of the email that she sent out with that, it says, and remember, darkness is simply the absence of light. And so that's a very wonderful way to start our show this evening. I was talking to someone actually just today about fear and how fear is just the absence of love. And it's just like if you bring light into a darkened room, what happens to the darkness? It just goes away. How does it go away? Well, it goes away because it was never real in the first place. The darkness doesn't actually exist. It's just an absence of light. And so you bring light in, the darkness disappears. Fear and love are like that too. Fear doesn't really exist. I saw this great acronym for fear one time. Fear, F-E-A-R, stands for false evidence appearing real. Because if you bring enough love into whatever it is, the fear disappears. Just like when you bring light into a darkened room. The dark goes away because there's enough light. Same thing. You bring in enough love, and the fear goes away. So, on that note, we're going to talk about these 10 things that you can do right now, or within the next 24 hours, that will actually align you with the power that you have inside of you, with the power that's in love itself, universal love, unconditional love, the love that holds the universe together. You can align yourself with that power, and you can think of it as sacred activism. And the first six of these 10 actually invite you into this sort of deep, nourishing connection with your spirit, so that you can tap into that which is rich and alive inside of you. And the last four on this list actually help you express outwardly that compassion and the joy that inner connection gives you. So the list actually is a beautiful expression of how the universe works. We go inside, and from what we find within, we express it outward, and the world changes around us as we change. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on. And so, again, this list comes from Andrew Harvey, from his book, The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. And the first one is, and I'm sure we've all heard this, Oprah's done this for years, but we're going to talk about it. And the first thing, and I want everybody, if you're at all interested, to get a pen and a paper and write this down so that you will know what these very, very simple yet profound 10 things are that you can do to align yourself with power and with the hope that's within sacred activism. And the first thing, of course, is to write down one thing that has made you feel grateful to be alive today. It could be something as simple as the taste of the bagel you had for breakfast, or the sight of the squirrels playing in the back in the snow or in the park. It could be something very, very simple like that. It could be the smile you saw in your child's eyes. Just write down one thing that has made you feel grateful to be alive today. And once you've written that one thing down, I'm going to invite you to, at some point, get a small notebook and make a commitment right now to yourself, for yourself, as an act of self-love, that you're going to continue writing down one thing every day that lights you up with joy. So you can do this in the middle of your day. You can do this in the evening when you get home from work. You could do this before you go to bed at night. It doesn't really matter. But give that love to yourself. Give that as a present. I think of it, especially this time of year, as a gift of the light. Because now that the solstice has happened, there's going to be a little more light each day. And so write down one thing every day that lights you up with joy. And then a really, really cool thing to do is that at the end of the month, sit down and read that list out loud. Read it slowly. And you're going to discover that it fills you up with joy because it reminds you of how blessed you are just by being alive in a world full of ordinary wonders. What it will do is it will actually reawaken a passion in you, or it might awaken it for the first time. Awaken this passion for life and a hunger to more fully enjoy it, to be more fully present for all these beautiful, wonderful things that are happening. And there's lots and lots of those happening all the time. So that's the first thing. Write down one thing that has made you feel grateful to be alive today. Any little thing or any big thing. And make a commitment to yourself to do that every day for at least a month. Writing one thing down that fills you up, that lights you up with joy. I think it will make a big difference. More importantly, it will wake you up to the beauty and the wonder of simply being present in each and every moment. And the second thing, and I'm going to ask everybody to just do this right now, to write down without thinking too much about it or editing yourself, sort of just like off the top of your heart, 10 things that you would say are sacred to you. So I'm going to give everybody a moment. Just right off the top of your head, right off the top of your heart, Write down 10 things that are sacred to you. I don't want there to be total silence, so I'm actually going to play a little music, and I'm going to let you focus on those 10 things and really understand what that feels like to notice 10 things that are sacred to you. And I'm going to play a little Raikuta to help you with that exercise. So, do you have your 10 things written down? I'd like to read to you what the 10 things were for Andrew Harvey. His list was friendship, all of you who are reading this, justice, cats, the first roses of summer, all religions, wise elders everywhere who share their wisdom tenderly and tactfully, India, my brave and wild mother, and the voice of Maria Callas, which has guided me for 40 years into my own truest passion. So what was your list? You'll find that just by writing it down, you'll start to be inspired by your deepest values, your beliefs, and whatever it is that sources joy inside of you. And in case you're just joining us, this is You Are Radio. Louisa Dyer, our show tonight is Conscious Co-Creating Tools to Empower You. And we are going through 10 things you can do right now to open you up to spiritual activism. And this is a list by Andrew Harvey out of his book, The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. And so we've done 1 and 2. And so number 3 here of those 10 things is, and this one is really interesting and important, and sit with it as you hear it. Think of someone who has hurt you or betrayed you and make a commitment to work on forgiving him or her. Imagine this person is in front of you, surrounded by light, happy and well. Pray for them that they realize their life's purpose. Just doing this once with humble sincerity is going to unveil your own innate strength of compassion and how much power and joy you can tap into just by touching that compassion inside of you. If you can taste the truth and the freedom and the desire that's born in you to see all things happy, you're actually going to raise your own level of consciousness tremendously. So again, I'm going to give you just a moment to think of someone who has hurt you or betrayed you and make a commitment to work on forgiving him or her. It's usually anger at ourselves for however it was we participated in that way that they hurt us or in that way that we felt betrayed by them. We actually participated in that in some way. And so usually when we can't let go of something with someone else, it's because we either feel guilty about our role in that whole situation, or we feel angry with ourselves because we participated in it at all. And so what I've found is that before we can really forgive someone else, we have to forgive ourselves. We have to be willing to let go our guilt. We have to be willing to let go the anger at ourselves. We have to be willing to look at ourselves with compassion and with love and say, you know, if I had known better, I would have done better. You know, to really have an understanding that we did the best that we could and to find a way to have compassion for who we were in that moment and to literally say, I am willing to release that guilt. I am willing to release the anger at myself. I forgive myself. And when we really forgive ourselves, and sometimes we have to get very specific about what we're forgiving ourselves for, to just make a blanket statement, I forgive myself for that whole thing. A lot of times that really doesn't do it because we haven't touched the specific place where we're still holding that resentment or that pain or that anger or that guilt within ourselves. And so we have to get really specific in forgiving ourselves. And we have a choice, I believe, about whether we forgive ourselves or not. When it comes to other people, what's important is to be willing. And if you notice, Harvey talks about that too, to make a commitment to work on forgiving someone. I think all we can do is to be willing to forgive someone other than ourselves. And then if that forgiveness comes, it's grace. It's a blessing. It's a joy. It cannot come unless we're willing for it to be there. But we also can't make it. I can't say, I forgive you, and just make it happen. If it's not true for me, it's not true for me. But if I'm willing for it to happen, then it can become true for me. So you might also want to do with yourself what he's suggesting that you do with the other person. Whatever the incident is that you're still holding anger with yourself about, or you're still holding blame for yourself about, or guilt. Imagine yourself standing in front of you and surround you with light, surround you with as much loving compassion. See yourself as innocent. See the child and the innocence in you, and surround that image of you with that light. And see yourself smiling, happy and well. And pray that you can realize your own life's purpose, that you can realize your health and your happiness. And if you can do this with sincerity for yourself, it makes it that much easier to do it for another person. And that's going to really open you to that innate power and strength of compassion. Compassion is a very powerful energy. We have to be able to tell the truth. We have to be willing to love instead of fear or hate or resent. And we have to accept that there is some sort of perfection in the order of things in order to reach that level of compassion. And so that's really what that whole step is about, is tapping into that. And so if you can do that with yourself, then see if you can do that with another person. And if you haven't done it yet, while we've been talking here, then just make a note of who that might be and that person so that you can do that at another time. And number four on this list is, his suggestion is, read a short text from any of the world's spiritual traditions that inspires you with the love wisdom of the prophets and the mystics who know God directly. And then the one he says he uses daily is from Rumi. I usually do that with David Hawkins or Eckhart Tolle or Byron Katie, because I find their writings to be incredibly inspiring and very, very, very high level of consciousness. But I'm going to read this one by Rumi because it's absolutely beautiful, and I do love Rumi. Oh, love, oh, pure, deep love, be here, be now, be all. Worlds dissolve in your endless, stainless radiance. Frail, living leaves burn with you brighter than cold stars. Make me your servant, your breath, your core. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Any text will do from any highly evolved teacher. Anything that resonates with joy, love, compassion, beauty. From someone who has an experience, someone we would think of as enlightened, who has a direct experience of God and is sharing that. What that does is that opens your mind and it opens your heart and it allows you to smile and to really feel a sense of being uplifted. And so whatever particular teacher or poet works for you, love yourself enough to find something. And it can be the same thing every day, or it could be something different every day. But read a short text every day that inspires you. Oh, I just love that. You know what? I'm going to read that again. I think that is so beautiful. Again, this is from Rumi. Oh, love, oh, pure, deep love, be here, be now, be all. Worlds dissolve in your endless, stainless radiance. Frail, living leaves burn with you brighter than cold stars. Make me your servant, your breath, your core. Oh. Isn't that just amazing? The fifth thing on this list, I'm just going to read you what Harvey wrote here. He says, when the text you have chosen starts to lighten up your spirit, pray a short prayer that aligns you with the pure, deep love that is longing to use you as its instrument in the world. Here are four from four different traditions that I use at odd moments throughout my day. Again, I'm quoting here from Harvey's list. And so I'm going to read you the four that are from four different traditions that he uses throughout his day as a short prayer to align himself with that pure, sacred spirit that wants to come through you into the world. One is, Lord, let me live to be truly useful. That's a good one. The next one is, Beloved, make me strong enough to do your will. The next one, oh, I really love this one. Divine Mother, fill me with your passion of compassion. So I can do your work tirelessly. I'm going to say that again. Divine Mother, fill me with your passion of compassion so I can do your work tirelessly. And the last one that he lists here is for as long as space exists and sentient beings remain, may I too remain to dispel the misery of the world. That's lovely. For as long as space exists and sentient beings remain, may I too remain to dispel the misery in the world. And of course, if none of these prayers inspire you or reflect your personal beliefs, then make up your own. And say it 10 times with passion and really feel it in the core of your heart. The prayer that I say frequently, always before I'm doing work with other people and frequently throughout my day, actually, is help me be a clear channel and a compassionate container for God's love and wholeness and guidance. That's what works for me. So let yourself create or come up with something that really works to align you with that divine essence that lives in you and wants to come through you. I'm going to say that again because somebody just sent me a message to repeat that. So I will say that again, what I say. I say, help me be a clear channel and a compassionate container for God's love and wholeness and guidance. That's the prayer that I use that works for me. And number 6 on this list of 10 is make a real commitment to spiritual practice. And if you don't yet have a spiritual practice, you can start with a simple meditation. And a lot of people's spiritual practice is to just take 5 minutes to focus on their breath and do that at least once a day. That is a wonderful meditation to just be very, very, very present with your breath. Or you could just sit with your back straight and watch your thoughts for 3 minutes. It's like letting your mind, letting the talking that you're doing about what's going on in your mind be silent and just watch what goes on in your mind. You know, a lot of people, especially Westerners, say that it's really impossible to have a quiet mind. But what David Hawkins has discovered through spiritual research is that 99% of the mind is silent. Only 1% of it is jibber-jabbering. And so if you look at the 99% instead of the 1%, if you just pay attention, you'll find it. You'll find that quiet. You'll find that silence. Because in that silence is an incredible treasure. And it just unfolds inside your body, inside your spirit, just by sitting quietly. You don't even have to believe in anything. You don't have to think about anything. Just try either sitting and noticing each breath for 5 minutes, or you can just sit and watch your thoughts for 5 minutes. If neither one of those seem good, you can try a visualization. And so when we come back from a little musical interlude here, we'll talk about a couple of those visualizations and what they might be, what might be a good one for you. But before we go to hear some music, I would invite you to think about that. What would make it exciting? What would make it intriguing? What would make it feel inspiring as a way to come into your own self and to really make a commitment to a spiritual practice in a very simple, 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 easy way? What would that look like for you? I'm going to invite you to think about that. And I'm going to play Time for a Change by Here to Here.
Where my heroes at? Where my soldiers at? Where my presidents and citizens and all that jazz? Where my parties at? Where my dreamers at? Where my activists and hippie chicks and I know that we can do it, we can change the world. I know that we can be it, we can be the change we like to see. I know that we can do it, we can change the world.
Welcome back. You're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer, and our show is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. Happy holidays, everybody. For those of you just joining us, we are going through a list of 10 things you can do right now to activate yourself, to align yourself with love, with what I call sacred activism. And this is a list of things from a book, actually, by that name, by Andrew Harvey. The book is called The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. And we were just talking about committing to a spiritual practice and paying attention to your breathing for 5 minutes, just noticing how the air moves in and out of your body, or just sitting and watching your thoughts. And if that doesn't work for you, there's all sorts of visualizations that you could use to where that gives the mind something to do and it doesn't seem as boring to the mind. So he gives one here that I think is really beautiful. He says it comes from a Tibetan master. And I'm just going to read what he writes here. Imagine that love and compassionate action have transformed you into a large, brilliant diamond that radiates diamond white light. Send that light to all the four directions, praying with whatever words you choose that all beings everywhere be happy, well, and protected. Oh, I think that would be beautiful. So imagine yourself as this large, brilliant diamond, radiating this white light, sending it to all four directions, praying that all beings everywhere be happy, well, and protected. I can imagine how that would wake you up. Tap into that compassion and that joy and that oneness, because that is a really deep, sacred desire to see everything living in harmony, because that's our true selves. It also will tap you into sacred courage to express that desire in that way, because that's bringing it into action, and that's going to bring you home, really, to your most compassionate self. Wow, I like that. And so number 7 on this list by Harvey, he says, strengthened by prayer, practice, and inspiration, that's by going inward, of course, turn now to your life and the people in it. Everyone, especially in a time like ours, has friends who are grieving or ill or looking for a job or in real financial difficulty. Commit now to ringing one of them up and asking him or her what you could do to help, what you could do to make their burden easier. Be happy that you can do that. And notice what that gives you. I think this is one of the best ways to discover that giving and receiving are actually the same thing. And that when you give like that, you get so much in return. It's one of the reasons that I've always volunteered. I think volunteering is a real part of my spiritual practice, and I've always done it in some form or the other. And I often think of volunteering as my tithe. But anyway, it's like that's sort of what that's tapping into, is you're tapping into your own abundance and you're expressing your abundance by offering to give. So that's number 7 on the list. And number 8 on his list, this is an interesting one. I'm going to read it, and then, you know, you might think about it, and I will too. He says, make a commitment to skip one meal in the coming 24 hours and send a check for the money you would have spent on it to a reputable organization dealing with world hunger. Any contribution, even as little as $5, will help far more than you can imagine. Never forget that almost 2 billion people live on less than a dollar a day. It's really quite phenomenal when you think about that. Almost 2 billion people in our world live on less than a dollar a day. So sending $5 can make a huge difference in someone's life. Going down and volunteering 4 hours of your time can make a huge difference in someone's life. Remembering that we're all one, and so whatever happens to the least of us, all of us are feeling. I think that's sort of the principle being looked at here. And number 9 on his list is, I'm just going to again read it. The global crisis we are now facing is plunging people everywhere into distress. There are people around you who are suffering. Make a commitment to find out who they are and what they need, and invite six of your friends to make a commitment with you to begin supplying it. In acting like this, you will be helping to activate the heart of your community. In my experience, more people than you may imagine are longing to be of help. Take the first step now yourself and be surprised and heartened. I think that's a really beautiful way to talk about what I was just talking about, which is, in some way, giving of yourself to meet a need, to meet a perceived need. In reality, there are no needs existing. In reality, everything is in perfect and divine order. But, you know, it's like, I love listening to Byron Katie talk about that, because Byron Katie loves what is. She went blind and she thought it was wonderful. She had no problem with that. She can now see again because somebody set her up with it and hooked her up, and she had surgery and it works. But Byron Katie loves what is, and yet she travels all over the world because her only goal in life is to eliminate suffering. So even though she knows everything is perfect and wonderful and beautiful just as it is, she doesn't deny the fact that people around her everywhere are still suffering, and her goal is to eliminate that suffering. Why? Because that's what she wants to do. And so that's really what Harvey's talking about here, is just noticing that people around you are suffering, and find a way that you can give that feels good to you, that feels like something you want to do. Don't sacrifice yourself to try to take care of somebody else. That will never be effective. That will not give you what you want. That will not be fun. If you ever sacrifice yourself to take care of someone else, it will not end well. Trust me. I've had lots of really not good experience. I can tell you that's the truth. So, but anyway, that's the idea of number 9. And number 10 is an interesting one. Make a commitment today, even if you are having financial difficulties, to tithe between 5 and 10% of what you earn to a cause of your choice. I recommend choosing one particular cause that deeply moves you. Over time, and again, I'm still reading here from Harvey's list. Over time, tithing will give you a great and healing sense of being useful, and the cause you are helping will become more and more precious and personal to you, so that you will want, naturally and simply, to do more. So whatever cause really moves you, move to be of help right now. Don't wait. There is great suffering that people are involved in all around us. And responding now, responding will actually empower you, which is pretty amazing. The thing about tithing for me is that tithing opens us up to the natural abundance that is. Tithing is a way of saying, I have enough and more than enough. And tithing, in my experience, opens you to financial prosperity, because you're coming from a place of financial prosperity when you're tithing. The way that I do that is I tithe to where I get my spiritual nourishment from. So I might send money to an author or to a teacher or to an organization that is doing something that feeds me spiritually in some way, whether that's taking care of the planet or taking care of people, or, you know, it's like, where do I get my spiritual nourishment? That's where I tithe. But that is actually a principle that has been well researched over the years. And if you're going to ever do any sort of prosperity work, that's one of the first things that you'll learn in prosperity work, is to begin tithing. And I'm going to read you the last part of what he says here, because we're almost out of time. Amazing how fast that goes. Well, we didn't get the first 15 minutes because of tech difficulties. But anyway, I'm going to read you again. This is still from Harvey's list. And one last suggestion. Because 11 is a sacred number, the number of the hexagram Tai in the I Ching, which means peace, and in the words of Richard Wilhelm's commentary, denotes a time in nature when heaven seems to be on earth. Make a commitment to keep some small change in one of your pockets so you can always give something to one of the homeless people that you run into in the streets. He says, I learned this habit as a child from my grandmother in India, And over the years, it has brought me into contact with some extraordinary people. One in particular I would like to celebrate here. Outside a temple in South India, there was a long line of desolate-looking beggars, and among them a very old woman, dressed in a ragged and filthy sari, with no shoes. I gave her what I had on me, about a dollar. I watched in amazement as she walked unsteadily over to the nearest food stand, bought a handful of chapatis, unleavened flatbread, broke them carefully in two, and shared them with the dog, as emaciated as she was. If we all knew what that penniless old beggar knew, the hundreds of children who have died of starvation while we've been talking would still be alive. That's the power of giving from your own self. That's the power of going inside your own self and discovering the abundance and the compassion and the beauty and the joy and the love that you have to give forth from. And it requires that. It requires going in and finding out the truth about the divine essence that lives at the core of your being. And from that, you give forth in little ways. Little ways really, really matter. Big ways matter too, of course, but little ways do. And so I'm going to close again by reminding you that this is You Are Radio, and my name is Louisa Dyer, and I'd love to hear from you through my website, louisadyer.com. And I want to wish everybody happy, holy days every day, but especially at this time of year. There's Christmas, there's Hanukkah, there's Kwanzaa, there's solstice. And for me, it's really this time of year, the joy and the season is really about the returning light. The earth, nature, has again turned so that the days are getting longer a little bit every day. And this time of year is the time where we are designed, nature, the nature that we are, is actually designed to go inward and to gestate the truth of who we are in our being so that we know that, we feel that, and we can come out into the world from that deeper, greater sense of that divinity that lives in within us, so that we can know the truth of who we are, the power and the beauty. And by holding ourselves in a very loving, compassionate way, we will begin to hold the world and the people around us in a more loving and compassionate way. And when we do that, the world around us changes, because it really is a reflection of what's held internally. So if you want your world to change, go inside and find out who you are and let yourself change into that truthful, compassionate, beautiful, and wise being that you are in your heart of hearts. So happy holy days today and every day. And I will see you again the first Thursday night of the new year. And we will be talking more about enlightened ones and the teachings that they have for us. And I wish everyone happy holy days, happy new year, with much love and many blessings. This is Louisa Dyer. Stay with me. I'm going to be playing some great music. And I look forward to all of you that I'm going to see and connect with over the next few weeks. Happy holy days. Good night, everybody. This is actually our theme song. It's called Your Dreams by Here to Here. Enjoy.
What a dream.